Okay, welcome to our class on the Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 21 on Religious Worship and the Sabbath Day. We'll come now to the conclusion of this chapter. We're going to look at paragraph 8, really on the application of the Sabbath. So we should have a rather short lesson today. Let's turn to a passage of scriptures. We begin Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then said he to the man, Stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Amen. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity to worship Thee on the Sabbath and to learn of Thy Word. Particularly this morning, as we consider the conclusion of the 21st chapter of our confession on the application of the Sabbath, we would ask that Thou grant us Thy help, that we may not only know these things intellectually, but we may apply them into our lives. We understand that it can be often difficult if we have not lived according to Thy plan, so that what we learn from Thy word becomes new wine in old wineskin. But give us the grace that little by little, as we are convicted by Thy word, we may seek to please Thee, knowing that therein is true freedom, true joy. And so bless our time together, for we do pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Now our text, our Confessions, chapter 21 and verse 8, is really about the application of the Sabbath, how we are to keep the Sabbath. You notice that there is a reference to preparation, and there's a notice to the keeping of it. I want to talk about the keeping of it first, from the text that we have just read in Matthew chapter 12. Now in Matthew chapter 12, you see how there was some confusion among the people of how the Sabbath is to be kept. You see, the Jews, of course, recognized this to be the fourth commandment, or one of the commandments, and therefore they understood that the Sabbath is to be kept by all. However, over the years, the Pharisees began to develop certain plan to help the people keep themselves from sin. Essentially, what they did was to make a hedge around various laws so that the people may not come so close to the law. So, for example, in the case of the fourth commandment, they have various laws like how many steps you can walk on the Sabbath. So you don't walk more than that, because if you walk more than that, you begin to work. Remember, we talked about the misunderstanding concerning the Sabbath. So the Jews actually thought that, well, the Sabbath is it prevents more rigorous activities if you perspire when you do the work. That means it's wrong. Well, that's not what the Lord is teaching. It's teaching about the purpose of the work. But the Jews began to do the hedge, and so they think about when you walk through the cornfield and you pluck the corn, it's allowed in the law that if you're walking through any other person's field, you can actually pluck, right? You cannot keep inside, right? You cannot harvest, but you can, if you're hungry, you can just eat. It's a law of mercy. But they begin to say, if it's on a Sabbath day, how much can you do? You cannot do more than a sheep's handful, for example. You do two sheep's handful, that means it's sin. Anything less than that is okay. And so they have all these different laws. What the Lord Jesus did when he came was to explain to them that all those hedges that they have put around are simply wrong. They have a wrong understanding of what the Sabbath is. And so he sought really to steer them back to the right thinking of the Sabbath and right application of the Sabbath, and pointed out to them that he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Right, because it's the Lord's day, right? The Lord's day is a day belonging to the Lord. And so as a day belonging to the Lord, the Lord has the right to determine, to define what is right and what is not right. So in this passage, actually, that we've just read, Matthew 12, we see the Lord defining what is right and what is not right. Now, before we go into the actual exposition of this, let's remember that the Sabbath is essentially a day of rest. And that day is sanctified unto the Lord. Right? Remember in Genesis chapter 2, told how the Lord rested on a seventh day, and he sanctified the day, which is to set the day holy. So the Sabbath is holy because it's set apart. So when we say it is set apart, essentially we are saying it is set apart unto God. It's not just set apart for any other thing. But always when the Bible uses the term holy, it is unto God. If it is unto God, then that day is reserved for worship, right, and religious exercises. So when the scripture says that the Sabbath is holy, essentially saying this day is for worship. It doesn't say that other days you cannot worship, right? But this day particularly, God has set it apart, not for you to use according to your own wisdom, but according to what God appoints for you to use it for. And that day is for worship, religious exercises, simply that, right? These are the purpose of that day, in other words. Just like the case of our salary, our income. 1/10 is a tithe, belongs to the Lord, right? It's not for us to decide what we want to do with it. It is to be used for the Lord's work, right? The 9/10, we can decide what we want to do with it. You want to give 9% tithe, you want to give 90% tithe, okay. The law doesn't forbid that, right? I read somewhere that Colgate, the man who invented Colgate toothpaste, he actually did that. He started with 10% and increased, and in the end he was giving about 90% of his wealth. The Lord bless him, right? There's nothing wrong with that. So too, if you want to spend every day doing in worship and studying the Bible, and you want to give of your time to the Lord, nothing wrong with that. Okay. But one day in 7 is appointed by the Lord. It's not for you to decide, I've done so much work on the other day, so therefore this day, I can relax. I can take out my Nintendo and start to play. No, it's not for us to determine that, right, his day belongs to the Lord. Okay? Now when we have that in mind, we understand when the Lord tells us what are the things permitted on the day, he's essentially saying, well, these things are not forbidden. See, these things are, well, it is okay to do these things on the day. Right? So come to Matthew chapter 12. Now here was the Lord Jesus going through the corn field with his disciples, and they began to pluck the ears of corn. Right? They plucked the ears of corn. Would that violate the Pharisees' law? The Pharisee says, one handful, the sheep's mouth, that's all you can take. But they pluck the whole corn, and they start to rough it, and they start to eat a bit more than a handful. So they begin to say, well, they did do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath day. Right? They're breaking the Sabbath, see? And how did the Lord reply? Well, the Lord essentially tell them, well, do you remember David? Well, David, you respect David? David is king. You respect him, right? You know he's a righteous man. Well, he was hungry when he went to the temple, when he was running away from Saul. And what did he do? He entered the house of God, and there was no food. He asked the priest for food, and they didn't have any food. What did they have left? They have only the hallowed bread, show bread. You know, show bread is basically the bread they lay on the table, one piece for each tribe, and so 12 pieces. Every day they have a fresh 12 loaves. At the end of the day, the bread is replaced. Well, the next day, replaced. So those that are replaced, and, well, the priests eat them because they are hallowed bread. But ordinary people were not supposed to eat them. But David ate them. The priest gave it to them, to him to eat. And he ate them. So anything wrong with that? Right? It's not wrong with that. Why is it not wrong? Well, the Lord doesn't use the exact words, but what essentially the Lord is suggesting is that there is a law of necessity, the law of mercy. You have to eat. So it can't be wrong. Right? They are taking the food to eat. They have to eat. David had to eat. And insofar as he was going through the in the temple, although ordinarily he may not have a person may not eat of the hallowed bread, yet in this circumstance where he doesn't have that food with him and needed to eat, the priest gave it to him. It's okay, nothing wrong with that. Necessity, you need to eat, right? Okay, then he says, that's the first thing. Then he says, or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? What is he saying now? You see, he's challenging the thinking of the Pharisees. The Pharisees' thinking is, well, if it's so much amount of work, burn so much calories, perspire so many drops, well, they don't actually go into that, but it's like heavy work, then it's forbidden, right? If you rub too many cons of in your hand, and you know, more than a handful, it's too much work involved, so you cannot do it. But what is the Lord telling? The Lord is suggesting to this the Pharisees, you have got it wrong. You've understood it wrongly. Right? Is it a priest in a temple? What were they doing? A lot of heavy work they have to do, you know, on a day. They even have to cut the wood, right? To have the sacrifices. How do they burn? They don't have gas burners in those days. They got to cut the wood. They got to slay the animal. It's not so easy to slay an animal. We think, oh, it's just chop chop. It's not so simple, right? You cut the animal, you have to big knives and cut it, flay it, cut out the skin. Take hours to do those things, right? And then after that, lay it, carry it out, lay it out on the wood, and set the fire, burn the animal. And then after that, what about the ashes? The ashes have been cleared. All those things have been done. All done. Which day? The Lord's day. Sabbath. So, big, heavy burden. And did they sin? Of course not. Right? So, Pharisees have been, obviously have misunderstood the law. For works of piety are part of the Sabbath. You see, the Sabbath is sanctified unto the Lord. So doing God's work cannot be wrong. Right? It is what the Sabbath is intended for. It is set apart unto the Lord. And so they must understand it's not about amount of work to be done. It is about what the work is about. Okay? So he goes on to say, but now, verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Now are those who serve not at the temple, but they will serve the Lord. And so essentially what the Lord essentially teaches us then, he said today, those who serve the Lord on the Lord's day are not sinning. We must not have this legalistic attitude, oh, today is Lord's day, cannot carry table, right? Or something to that degree, or the minister, too much work on this day, it's the Sabbath, shouldn't have it so much work, give him less work. Not that, that's the wrong understanding. Right, serving the Lord is never wrong on the Lord's day. Okay? And so he rebuked them, if you have known what it meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you have not condemned the guiltless. Notice what he's saying. He's saying, basically the disciples were not guilty. You are condemning them of guiltiness because your attitude is just wrong. Your understanding of the Sabbath is wrong. Your attitude is wrong. You're condemning them wrongly. Okay? For the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath day. He is the Lord, and he is the one who can define for us, and he interprets for us what the Sabbath is about. Now going on in this chapter, again we see something else. You see how that there was a man whose hand was withered, and he came to the synagogue, and of course the Jews tried to trap him and says, is it lawful for you to heal on the Sabbath? No, actually the Jews, they have different groups, and some of them actually think that it's okay to heal, some of them don't think so. Apparently this group that came to him didn't believe so, that you can do good on the Sabbath. This man hand is shriveled, right, came to him, they essentially asked him, is it alright for you to heal? What did the Lord do? Well, I say, if you are in that position, what do you think? Now this man, his hand is withered, he can come other days, right? Not emergency, right? He can come on other days. Surely he can come on Monday or Sunday. In those days, Sabbath is on a Saturday. But surely he can come tomorrow. So surely it must be wrong to do it on that day, because you can do it on tomorrow, right? But that's wrong. See, the Lord shows them that that's a wrong attitude, because it's never wrong to do works of mercy on the Lord's day. Okay? Never wrong to do good on the Lord's day. And so he proceeded really to heal that man. He could have come another day, but the Lord went ahead. Nevertheless, heal him. Stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched out his hand and was restored full like the other. Okay? So we have one, works of piety. Right? That is basically what the day is essentially for, religious worship, religious exercises. And now we have also, we have works of mercy. And we have works of necessity. I'm changing the order a little bit for a reason. Huh? Essentially, this is what the day is for. Works of piety is what the day is for. Works of mercy is never forbidden. Works of necessity is allowed. Okay? A slight different degree, so you cannot say, well, this is all necessity today, I'm going to do all my necessary work. It must be that first, and then that, and then that. Okay? But now the Lord, in teaching concerning the works of mercy, used an example there in verse 11. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well or to do good on the Sabbath day. So in that is using that example to say it's always alright to do works of mercy, to do well. Okay, but in that example too, the Lord is suggesting that in an emergency situation, you just got to do it, right? You must not become legalistic about it. All right, necessity, emergency is a kind of necessity. All right, so I can put here. We can put here works of emergency. Of course, works of emergency is a kind of necessity. I gave the example before. What if you're coming to church and a pipe bursts in your house? What do you do? Sabbath day, or let the pipe run. Tomorrow I'll call the plumber. Obviously not. It doesn't make sense, right? It's an emergency. You've got to get it done, right? Or if you keep fish tank, happened to me once, going for church camp. Just before I left for church camp, the tank, fish tank which I made myself, burst. Whole house was flooded with water and sand. What to do? Just got to clean up. Right, in those days, my mom cleaned it for me, because I had to run for church camp, but and missed the bus. But if it is on a lost day and you have to do it, you just have to do it, right? And say, well, this is work, labor. I'm going to spend many hours. So it's an emergency. Got to get it done. You're driving to church and you get punctured on the car. Spend so much energy and calories trying to fix that, change the tire. So I won't do it. Walk to church? No, do it. Emergency. You have to call the tow truck. Call the tow truck. Doesn't matter. Okay. Indeed, I would say that. Well, we I personally don't believe that we should go out to eat on the Sabbath day. Right. It's an interesting story behind it. I'm not sure if I shared it. What happened was I come to a conviction of the Sabbath somewhere during when I was in the States in 1991. I felt that the Sabbath is to be kept holy. As I began to study the scriptures and confession, I recognized that we must keep the Sabbath holy and we must not make people work on the Sabbath. So I recognized that we must not go shopping on the Sabbath. One day, after the Lord's Day, my wife and I think only two of us, no children yet, we were walking towards the hawker center on the Lord's Day, because we didn't think that was wrong, right? Necessity, got to eat. So we walked towards the hawker center, and then my wife, out of the blue, asked me, if it is wrong for us to go shopping today, so we're heading towards Ginza Plaza, so we're looking at Ginza Plaza the other side. It's wrong for us to go shopping today. Why is it alright for us to go to the hawker center? Isn't it the same? The principle is the same, right? They cook for us, the other one they sell to us. Same. So if it's alright for us to eat in the hawker center, why is it not wrong? Why is it wrong for us to go to Ginza? So we thought about it for a while. We were very quiet and it was a very miserable meal. That was the last meal we had in the hawker center on the Lord's Day. But we were convinced at the end of it that unless it's absolutely necessary, we will not go out to eat on the Lord's Day. But what I'm saying is this, if even you have that conviction that you should not eat on the Lord's Day, you have done all the preparation, but sometimes things happen. Right? You have all your food and you open up, it's filled with ants. What are you going to do? No food. Right? Oh, don't get your children to starve. If you have to go and buy, go and buy. Right? Don't become a legalist and say, I can't do it. Right? And let my children starve. No. Okay? Know that there is a higher law, of mercy and necessity. Right? But where you can, work in preparation. Okay? And this is what the scripture teaches us too. We got to learn how to prepare for the Sabbath. Where in the scriptures are we taught prepare for the Sabbath? Anyone knows? Yeah? Anyone know? Where? Yeah, Jemima, you have a suggestion?
That's right. Right? Look at Exodus 16. How did the Lord indicate which day they were to keep the Sabbath? They lost the Sabbath in Egypt. Egypt, 10-day work week, work 9 days, rest 1 day, the 7-day Sabbath was lost. So how did the Lord indicate to them? A double portion of manna on the day before, right? Look at this, where do we find it? A number of verses here, but wondering which one's the best. Oh, verse 4, let's look at verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Right? So on the sixth day they gather twice as much, right? And what's the meaning of it? Look at verse 23. And he said unto them, Moses said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Okay, see what the Lord is saying, right? He gave them that extra manna. Is it wrong for them? Is it very laborious for them to collect manna? It's not laborious, isn't it? Why is it the Lord give them double portion on the sixth day and nothing on the Sabbath? Right? It's because the Lord has appointed for them that day is a day for worship and religious exercise. He doesn't want them to go and pick the bread. Even though it's not laborious, we must not think, oh, only if it's laborious, then it's forbidden. If it's not laborious, it's okay. It's not a point. Misunderstand. Right? The Jews didn't have to dig down 6 feet under to take the, like searching for truffles, or climb up the coconut tree to pluck the, and then it's a lot of work. No, it's not the case at all. Simple. Children can do it, but the Lord says no. And get them to prepare on the day before, right? Okay. Now, a question that's often asked is, what about cooking on the Lord's Day? Right. The Free Presbyterian Church would not have cooking on the Lord's Day. Right. They on the Lord's Day is cold meals, sandwich, and so on. I'm not so sure. If you look at the verse here, verse 5, you see verse 5, it says, and it shall come to pass that on the 6 days they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So there's a thinking that, well, you see, they say cook the double portion, right, and keep the one portion for the next day. Is that right? Is that correct? Seems like, huh? At first look, it seems like. But now look at verse 23, which I also read. This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. What does this passage here suggest? These two verses suggest, contrary-wise, isn't it? Suggest that you collect two portions, and you cook one portion, and leave the other portion, and cook. And it didn't stink. Right, I read one commentary, they say, well, they cooked both portions, so it didn't stink. Well, if they can cook both portions and it didn't stink, then why didn't they do it on other days? The fact is, what Moses is essentially saying is this, that it is special. In the providence of the Lord, in the way that the Lord has dealt with the people, the leftovers that's kept for the Sabbath will not stink, and they can cook it on that day. Okay? So, verse 5, back to verse 5, what does it mean? And it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. What's that referring to? That's referring to the amount that they gather. Okay, it's not referring to the amount that they prepare. Okay, so I believe that there's nothing wrong with cooking on the Lord's Day. Right? It's part of the necessity, unless you like raw food, of course, then if you like sushi and you cut everything, that's fine, right? But ordinarily, right, we cook and we have our meals, nothing wrong, right? Okay, but please don't therefore take that and say, okay, we can have a 10-course dinner on the Lord's Day so that we have a nice gathering and 10-course dinner and everyone we spend a lot of time cooking and so on. On the Lord's Day, we try to we must remember that day is set apart really for worship, for religious exercise. And so we minimize the rest of things. Doesn't mean then that, well, so since the Lord's Day, this is the real thing, and therefore the rest of food is okay. Pot soup in oil, you can eat it. Don't have to be go to that extent, alright? Okay? Something reasonable, but understanding the principle of keeping of the Lord's Day. Okay? And in my family, we when we eat on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, we use plastic plates. For that reason. I know sometimes when you entertain guests, it's a bit strange. You know, we explain to them that this is the Lord's Day and we don't have a dishwasher, no space for a dishwasher. So we rather use this plastics and we throw away after that. Yeah, we can accommodate, right? On other days, well, if you want to entertain your guests, use your fine china, and then you can wash. Of course, if you're a dishwasher, it doesn't matter. This law doesn't apply to machine. Okay. But the principle is there. Don't say, well, it doesn't apply to machine, therefore on the Lord's Day, start taking out all your laundry and take out your bed sheets and everything, put into the washer and wash. It goes against the day. That's not what the day is for. Okay, the day is for worship. Okay? All right? Well, let me read the text and then we'll take some questions if you have. 21.8. The Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of the heart and ordering of their common affairs beforehand. Okay, take note of that. Our confession straight away recognize that there must be a preparation. You have to prepare. If you don't prepare, you're not going to be able to keep the Sabbath. Right, so Exodus 16 is a very good example, and so too for the rest of us in terms of our business, that you got to, if you're running a business, you got to wrap up everything and not leave things hanging for the Lord's Day to do your work. You got to do that, your homework, or don't say, I still got one more this Sunday, I can do my homework. And you got to hand out on Monday, you do it on Saturday, finish it up, right? That's the idea, preparing for it. And preparing for worship too, what does it mean? It means not staying up until 2 a.m. in the morning and expect to come to church and worship when you're nodding in agreement all the time, although nothing goes inside. It can't be. You have to prepare. Prepare means you sleep early. On the Lord's Day, you've got to sleep early. Right? You've got to try to do that. Okay? And you know that it is actually a spiritual, it is a spiritual battle. Right, so don't take it for granted. Okay, don't start something, start watching a video or something at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. and then expect to be asleep. You're not going to be able to do that. Okay, learn to wind down your day. You know, the Jews would the day before the Sabbath. The Jews keep their Sabbath from 6 to 6. I know some Christians who do that. I'm not so sure that that's the case. There's a book written by Francis Nigel Lee on the Covenantal Sabbath, where he shows that really for Christian it's 24 hours from 12 to 12, the kind of thinking. Okay, but I'm not dogmatic about that. If you want to keep it 6 to 6, well, at least you must keep 24 hours, right? That's the principle in the Word of God. But the thing to do is on the Lord's Day before the day before the Lord's Day, Saturday, rest well. Can't help it if it rains in the middle of the night and you've got to wake up, no choice. But seek to rest well, right? So that you can be attentive to use the means of grace on the Lord's Day. Okay, so after ordering the common affairs beforehand, do not only observe and holy rest all the day from their own works, words and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreation. Right? We saw that when we look at Isaiah 58. we see that recreations are not really for that day. I know there are some who holds to that principle that it's okay to have recreation because of wrong understanding of what the Sabbath is about. Okay? The thinking, if you once you begin to think that the Sabbath, well, Sabbath is just against work, then you will begin to think, well, recreation is okay. But the Sabbath is not just about work. Otherwise, we've got to work 6 days a week. Right? If you don't work 6 days a week, you are sinning against the Lord. That's what some say. Right? You cannot have 5 day week or 4 day week. No, it's not about that. It's not just about work per se. It's about doing that which is not set apart unto the Lord. Okay? And recreation is not recognized in the scripture. Isaiah 58 teaches us that your own recreation, right, is not that which is set apart for the Lord. You have to call the Sabbath a delight, doing the Lord's work. Okay? Right? So we do not think and do or speak about worldly employments and recreation. So don't come on the Lord's Day and start talking about F1 race and soccer and so on. We should avoid that. Sometimes, you know, in your conversation, things may come up, but we don't dwell on them, right? We're not saying legalistically. As soon as you see, you say something, say F1, oh, slap yourself. Okay. Or soccer, or slap yourself. Right, or cut off the TV if you're tempted on the soccer match and you watch it and just cut off the line. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying we've got to restrain ourselves and learn to keep the day holy and seek to do that which is right. Okay? Then, not only refraining from all these things, but also are taken up the whole time in the public, private exercises of his worship and duties of necessity and mercies. Okay, so a day is different. A day that is set apart for us to worship the Lord. If you enjoy this day, you keep this day holy and delight in this day, you'll make a great difference in your life. You can be quite sure about that. Okay? Many of us say we don't have time to read. But if we can keep this day and begin to read Christian books and read the Bible on this day, pray, you make up, at least to a degree, you make up for lost time. Alright? So is it alright for you to take a nap on the Lord's Day? Principle, okay, principle. Remember the principle. Why do you take a nap on the Lord's Day? Well, it's so that you can be refreshed and use the means of grace. Right? So do that. It's alright to take a nap. Okay? But don't sleep through the whole of the Sabbath. You say, well, this is a rest day, therefore I'm going to rest the whole day. Going to church is just too burdensome, expend too much energy, burn too much calories, and so I don't go to church. That's people actually think of that. Right? Because of a wrong understanding of other Sabbaths as well. But get the right understanding and you understand that there are some things that are simply a necessity, a mercy, and the rest. The day is centered around worship. Okay? So in a Reformed church, for the reason of keeping the Sabbath, we generally have two worship services. Because it's just so difficult, isn't it? Left to ourselves, it's so difficult for you to keep the whole day. And besides, as this is the central purpose of the Sabbath, then what should the church do but really to have the worship and the classes and so on? So in this church, for example, we have very little activities on other day. Why? Because we want to focus on the Sabbath. Right? We want to use the day for the Lord. Because we recognize that we have many other activities on the weekdays. After a while, you got no time. And you're going to eat into the Sabbath. And then you're working, living then, and conducting yourself then according to the rules of men and convenience of men, rather than the principles of the Word of God. Okay? So we seek what we can to help one another to conform unto the Word of God. Okay? Any question? Yes, John. Why does it forbid even animals? Yeah, because in order to work, in order for the animals to work, man has to work, first place. And secondly, the scripture also teaches us that we are to be compassionate towards the animals. Okay? That's what the scripture teaches. Do not muzzle the ox, the treader, the grain. Old Testament, well, that was literally Of course, it's not just about men, about laborers, but also about animals. You've got to be kind to animals. Okay? And so the Lord has appointed even the animals that work for men. Well, he's not saying that, you know, the animals in the zoo, right? So on the Lord's day, you can restrain the animal, tie him down so that he doesn't go and do those work that you want to do. The animals will do their work. They'll dig their holes and they can hunt and things like that. Yeah, it's about human work, you see. Okay? Can you understand what I'm saying, brother? Yeah? Okay? Yes, Kiyu. Yes. Yes. Yeah. This the question is about what about people who work as nurses, who work as doctors, policemen, people who man the electricity, all these things, and I will even include bus drivers in our land. Well, what do we do with these things? I think in these cases we can class them under mercy and necessity. Necessity, not just in a case of an individual, but in the case of a society as a whole. Keep the society in even queue. And so we must not go out and condemn and then say, well, you are working on a Sabbath as a nurse. You can change your shift, can't you? No, we don't do that. It is a necessity and mercy. Okay? Right? Although I think Christians will want to, as far as possible, to be able to work to kind of worship the Lord. So even if you work as a doctor, as a nurse, you want to arrange your schedule so that you can worship the Lord, okay, and avoid other work on the Sabbath. Okay, there are some doctors. I read a whole thick volume written by some doctors in I think 18th century. This is written by doctors who and keen to keep the Sabbath, and what they did was actually they formed a kind of alliance, and on the Sabbath they continued to provide services free, you know, so that they say, well, we're not making business out of it, but we are doing serving the Lord. I think it's very praiseworthy, right? Of course it may be very difficult. Most of us have to work for employers. Yeah. Okay, any other question? Did I answer that, brother? Yeah. Okay. Any other question? Anyone? Yeah? It's quite straightforward. Okay. Not so straightforward to apply. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying. It's all right. That's why I say we don't condemn. You know, it's not a life and death matter, but still, a work of mercy. Right. So you don't condemn a person for, if a person is called to work in a hospital and he's got to go and maybe there's no emergency there and he still have to work. Right. It's a matter of mercy. Right. But if you can arrange so that you can worship on the Lord's Day, I think that's best. Okay? Alright? There are other complicated issues like a power plant, factory that cannot shut down. You know, you ask some of the bosses, the factory just cannot shut down because you shut down, it will be massive losses and so on because they started up again. Well, those leave it to your individual conscience to think about it, whether you can work in such a circumstance. Public transport is also the issue. Some say I can take bus, cannot take taxi. Well, again, we'll have to leave you to your individual conscience to think about it. And the fact is, in our circumstance today, it's almost impossible not to have the public transport. To have it, the public transport has to be operating. That things may be in even queue. You say, well, they make a profit. Well, yes, they may make a profit. Still, it is keeping things in even queue. Okay? Alright? As a nation, we'll go stand still if we don't have public transport. That's what happened in Israel. Which year was it that the war that they lost? Who's the history of the Israeli war? They kept the Sabbath and they were attacked, I think, by the Egyptians, I think, and they lost. And then they fought back, eventually changed the law, and now they allow public transport on their Sabbath. Okay? Oh, you have to find some. Yeah, search it yourself. I forget the details. Okay, any other question, anyone? Okay, if not, may I request Brother Chin, would you close us in practice?